So I feel wholly unqualified to talk about what it's like to be a mother. So I asked our ladies to give me some input. What is it like to have the blessing of being a mom? Here's what one of our moms said. Being a mom is a gift because if we let it, it can impart the ultimate lesson of grace. It has the potential to work on multiple levels using His perfect timing to bring wisdom. Being a mom can teach us to give grace to our own mother over the moments we recall being at odds with her, and in turn, as we understand and accept her as a human, lead us to peace. As a child, we're typically clueless as to what our mom could be experiencing. We're watching cartoons, hanging out with friends, boyfriends, girlfriends. We're too busy trying to make the team or trying to make the grade to stop and think what her past involved and how it might affect her. Wait until you hit around 30. If you're a mom yourself by then, you may then be blessed with perspective. Suddenly, some moms may then be seen more for their very broken people they are, and we are. The enlightenment of this need for grace and understanding of somebody else would qualify as my most unexpected gift of being a mom, because it amazingly doesn't stop there. The realization of this grace once given simultaneously enlightened me to receive grace myself as a mom as well. Moms, brokenness is their environment for a time. Excuse me, moms, cut yourself some slack. Sorry, I skipped a line. Kids make choices whether we raise them well or not, whether our brokenness is their environment for a time or not. Eventually, we can't blame our parents for our choices. Right and wrong lives in us all. Lives in us all. Us moms tend to be wired to be extremely hard on ourselves. What are we doing? I'm a bad parent. But God's word gives us Luke 1:28. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Becoming a mom allows us to tap into immeasurable gift, which is peace in grace given and grace received. It is exponential power to heal once discovered and grasped. You ever wonder what it was like to be Jesus' mom? I don't know what you think of the series The Chosen, but there's a scene in The Chosen that kind of helps us understand what it might have been like from Mary's perspective. Let's watch this together.
What did you feel when it happened?
When what happened?
His birth. Even before that, how did you know? When did you know who he was?
I don't know. We're all tired. Do you really want to hear all that?
Yes.
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 Oh. Well, nothing about it was easy. I can tell you that. It wasn't in my hometown. My mother wasn't there. We had no midwife. I don't know if I'm ready to give all the details. Maybe some other time. But I do remember this. When Joseph handed him to me, it was like nothing I expected. It was like everything I'd heard about having a baby, but I thought this would be completely different.
What do you mean?
I had to clean him off. He was covered in... I will be polite. He needed to be cleaned. And he was cold. And he was crying. He needed my help. My help. A teenager from Nazareth. Uh, It actually made me think for just one moment. Is this really the Son of God? And Joseph later told me he briefly thought the same thing. But we knew he was. I don't know what I expected. But he was crying and he needed me. And I wondered how long that would last. He doesn't need me anymore. Not since we taught him how to walk and eat. He hasn't needed me for a long time, I suppose. And after Joseph passed, may he rest in peace. He grew up even quicker. And I wish I could say that made me happy. Of course, as a Jew, I'm excited to see everything he does for our people, and I'm proud of him. But as a mom, it makes me a little sad sometimes.
Sounds like motherhood can be pretty messy. Now, I can't experience motherhood, but I can experience that thing she was polite about. Because our daughter looked like she had cottage cheese all over her. And I got to clean her off. Being a parent is one of the most incredible experiences. I remember thinking, I don't know that I have it in me to be a dad. I don't think I understood the profundity of how self-centered I was at the time. But I knew that I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to give everything I had for someone else that way. Until they put her in my hands. And I got, God just did a transforming work in me. And opened up parts of me that I never knew were even there. And if as a husband, as a man, I can experience that, I can't imagine what it must be like for you ladies who have had children. And I just want to say, what a blessing. What a messy blessing. Can I get an amen? I love what Mary said. Not what she expected. Mary gave birth to God. Mary gave birth to God. And of course, that sounds nonsensical because by definition, God is eternally existent. No beginning, no end. But it is the epitome of hubris for us to think that just because I can't comprehend something, that it is not incomprehensible or not true. Motherhood is not only messy, but it induces self-doubt. I want to hear from Mary one more time.
Please, have you seen...
Why are you alone, woman?
My son. He's only 12. He's...
Kids are nowhere. It's Jerusalem. You from here?
No. We came for the Passover feast. We thought he was in the caravan.
The feast was 3 days ago.
Jesus! Jesus!
Mary.
Ima?
I looked everywhere day and night. We were so scared.
I told him, he's okay.
Why is everyone so upset?
Mary, he was in there.
You were supposed to be riding in the caravan with Uncle Abita.
I was supposed to be with my father.
Then why weren't you?
I was.
You were in the temple?
It was incredible, Mary. You should have seen him. He was teaching when I found him. The rabbis, the scribes, the scholars, they could not believe their ears. They barely let us leave.
Didn't you know I must be in my father's house?
It is too early for all this.
If not now, when?
Just help us get through all of this with you. Please.
Maybe we should get going before they make a formal inquiry. Huh?
You were supposed to be with your father. I was. That's not an issue that we're going to have with our kids. But raising kids, you know, every parent, I'm sure, has heard this. There's no manual that really prepares you for everything that's out there, especially in today's day and age. But God, I think, gave us moms that will help us. As we've been doing this study on the names of God, it struck me that there are many names and many ways that God has revealed himself with using feminine attributes. And I thought it would be interesting to take some time and look at some of those ways that God has communicated himself using feminine attributes. This morning, I want to see how women reflect God when they comfort, when they protect, and when they create and give life. To be sure, in his nature, Jesus was male. The scriptures are clear. They refer to the Father, they refer to the Son, they refer to the Holy Spirit, and they use the male pronoun, he. Most of the metaphors that are used to reveal God reveal him as male. The two most prominent are probably husband and father. But it's important not to say more than the scriptures say. The Bible does not claim that God is male. Matter of fact, the scriptures tell us this. They describe God this way. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So God does not have a gender. But he uses gender as an anthropomorphistic way to help us understand who he is and how he wants to relate to us. Just as our study of the names of God show us that no one name can hold all that there is to know about God. Gender itself cannot reveal all there is to know about God who has revealed himself to us so that we may know him. It's just going to be limited because you will not be able to express the infinite in the finite, the holy and perfect in the frail and broken of humanity. It's interesting that the first time that God calls anything in all of his creation not good is when the man was alone. God brought all the animals to Adam to name. I mean, the passage in Genesis 2 says that he brought them all to him. It's an interesting picture. Can you imagine what it was like? We don't know how long Adam took to name all the animals. We know they came as pairs. I'm trying to think what the name of this group is. If life science is accurate as to how many species currently exist on the face of the earth, it's probably somewhere around 1.7 million. Now, I don't know if God made more than that in the very beginning or he made less than that, but let's just take that number. How long would it take Adam? Two mosquitoes come by. He's got to look at them. He's got to study them. How did he come up with mosquito? I don't know. Two aardvarks come by. He's got to look at them. There had to be several ants because the aardvarks were probably munching as they came through. And no, they probably weren't because there was no death before the fall. So just messing with you. All these different animals, he brings them all by. And God is making a point. Oftentimes, God will bring things into our lives so that he can raise up a need that we have that we're not aware of. And he did this for Adam. Adam's watching all these couples come by. And he's like, wait a minute. Where's the one that completes me? Where's the one that corresponds to me? And so God raised this need for Adam. Genesis 2:20 says, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Now, once God raised the need, he met the need. Continuing in Genesis, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and he closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Now here's the interesting part. Both embodied humans, both male and female, together bear the image of God. It is not until both man and woman are created that God is fully imaged. I mean, that's what the passage says. It says, so God created man in his image. Okay, if we stop right there, you're thinking, okay, Len, you're wrong. Listen to how it continues. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So it took both a man and a woman to fully represent the image of God. And yet we know that we'll never fully represent the image of God, but it gives us a good picture of who God is, how he behaves. And it is not until both the male and female are created in his image that he pronounces of his creation in chapter 1, verse 31, that his creation was very good. Everything went from good, one not good, and then everything is very good because he brought the woman to the man. Both men and women reveal something about God's image that is unique to their gender. I think that's one of the reasons there's such an attack on gender right now. Because the enemy wants to mar the image of God in us. He wants to bring confusion. He wants to bring question. He wants to make us question whether God is really good. He's still asking the same question that he asked Eve in the garden. And so it's important for us to recognize that God created gender. And there's something that he wants to represent in the image of him, in his own image, in a woman, and something that he wants to represent in a man. And those things together fully image him. And we can represent him well and feel good about being a man or a woman. And be able to define what a man and a woman is without any issues. Both men and women reveal something about God's image that's unique to their gender. God in his fullness could never be fully revealed through human subjects. However, there are things that can be revealed when a man walks with God, when a woman walks with God. He reveals himself through us in ways that are unique to our genders. Now, on Father's Day, we're going to look at some of those things that are unique to a male. But today, there are things we're going to look at, three things, that more directly display God's character. Who God is, how he behaves in a woman. Three ways that God reveals his character through feminine characteristics and metaphors. First, a mother comforts her children. We come to know God as the comforter, right? We just talked about the Holy Spirit a couple weeks ago. The word is parakletos, and it translates comforter, it translates helper. Parakletos means the one called alongside to help us. This is what God says of himself. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. God is a God of comfort. Isaiah, the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah is all about the judgment coming on Israel because of the rebellion. how they have turned their back on him, and how God says, you know, you've just passed the line. And there's no turning back now. There's judgment. But he starts in chapter 40 with comfort. Comfort, said my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. He is a God of comfort. Now, comfort does not mean that there won't be discipline. 39 chapters worth of discipline. Because God wants us to be in line with who he is and how we represent him. But when it comes to chapter 40, even though Israel hadn't repented, he wanted them to know he had comfort in mind for them. He would not forget them. He would not forsake them. He would not turn away from them. God comforts his people like a mother comforts her child. There is nothing more comforting than the arms of a mom. When a child needs comfort, dad is typically second choice. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't step up to the plate, gentlemen. But I think there's a study that was done in the Journal of Pediatric Healthcare, July, August of 2014, if you want to check it out for yourself. It was done of couples caring for their firstborn children. This is what they found. Researchers found that moms woke up to care for crying infants an average of 3 times per night. It was a little less than 2 times per night for the guys. Moms usually assuage the babies with food, soothing lullabies, and rocking. Anybody remember your mom's lullabies? Not necessarily as a baby, but as you're as a toddler and you're scared. I do. Fathers woke up in response to a crying child and spent only about 40% of their time awake tending to the baby. 40%. Where'd the other 60% go? Most of the time was spent, and they don't describe this or define it, but this is just what they say. Most of the time was spent engaging in self-care or passive awakening. They got around to the baby eventually. You're not going to go to someone like that for comfort, right? Now, guys, that doesn't give us a pass. It doesn't say it's okay. It's a challenge for us to engage and to make sure we're being the comforter that our kids need. But it is also a reality check that we are wired differently. And it is a blessing. It is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. A guy named Robert A. Heinlein made this statement, and I added a word. He said, being a mother is an attitude, not a biological relation. I said, being a mother is an attitude, not merely or not only a biological relation. See, motherhood isn't just for those who have actually born a child. I think God put in women, whether you're still single or single again, whether you're not able to have children or you haven't had children for whatever reason, God put in you the characteristics of a woman made in his image, and he wants you to image him by comforting, because that comes naturally to women. It's not a bad thing. It offsets that more drivenness of a guy. Not that some women aren't as comforting as other women. But the reality is we need to have women in our lives. Anyone here have someone that was a mother to you that wasn't your biological mom? Yeah. I think if you took some time and thought about it, you'd be able to think of women who spoke into your lives, who comforted you, who were there for you. And that's one of the characteristics that God wants women to feel free to display. I mean, even as I speak about this, I mean, I've been shouted down by women who say, no, we're not going to go back to Leave It to Beaver land. And that isn't really what I'm looking for. And it's not really what the scriptures are looking for. The scriptures are looking for men and women who are able, freely, to follow God and let God reveal their character. Let God grow their character. And I think God has a lot that he wants to say to every single one of us. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion of the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you, says God in Isaiah 49. Like a woman will never forget her nursing child, God will never forget his children. Women reflect God's character when they provide comfort. Had another mom share something with me via email. The gift that I have received from our Father while being a mom is the opportunity to shape a child's life in the Lord and then see them walking with him in marriage, shaping their children's hearts as the Lord draws them to himself. Such a blessing and honor to me. Now that comes from the heart of a mom who was there to comfort, to invest. Now, added to that blessing is this blessing. And I didn't charge her extra for this. It's an added gift to have adult children loving me back in friendship with respect toward me and love for our Father, which fills their marriage and leads their children to the Lord. It brings days of watching grandchildren walk with our Father in their life decisions and into marriage. Women reflect God's character when they provide comfort. But there's another way women reflect God's character. There's nothing more fearsome or powerful than a mother's protection of her children. In a name that we've not studied yet, God reveals himself as Yahweh Tsuri, God our rock, our fortress, our protector. And a mother's love for her children shows us powerfully how she protects her children, what lengths she's willing to go to protect her children. This is what God says. I will fall upon them like a bear cub, like a bear robbed of her cubs. I will tear open their breast, and there I will devour them like a lion as a wild beast would rip them open. That's pretty serious. But have you ever gotten in between a mom and her kids? Have you ever had that feeling where somebody was coming against one of your kids? I mean, it's one thing for us to say that our child is being a problem, but it's another thing totally for someone else to tell us that our child is being a problem, right? And they might be, but that person doesn't have the right. God has invested that into us as parents, and especially moms. Moms will rise up and say, no, that's not going to happen. Hillary Morgan Farrar took this passage to heart when she wrote this book, Mama Bear Apologetics. Now, here is how we see God raising up that mama bear in Hillary. Several years ago, my husband and I were asked to be helpers as apologetics at an apologetic class at my parents' church. It was here that we met a woman named Jody. One day, Jody stood to give her story. She'd raised two sons in the church. They attended Awana youth group church every week. One of them even asked to be rebaptized after his first year of college. That'll cinch it, she thought. After her son got his first job post-college, her world was turned upside down. On a weekend visit, he declared that he no longer believed in God. He was following in the footsteps of the atheist boss who had convinced him that Jesus was just like Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy. What more could I have done, she wondered. Jody then told the class how she handled the situation. Here's where the mama bear comes up. On the inside, she was freaking out. Who wouldn't be? On the outside, however, she listened to her son, asked him questions, and tried to see what had caused such a seismic shift in his life. She asked him to tell her what the main objections and questions were that he had about believing in God. When he left to return home, Jody, a fitness instructor, dove into the unfamiliar world of academia and Christian scholarship, frantically searching for evidence that would refute her son's objections. She didn't ask for this task. She didn't want it. But her baby's eternal destiny was in the balance. What else could a mama bear do? She saw the philosophical bulldozer crushing her son, and she jumped in with both hands, as all mama bears do, wanting to lift it off of him, even though it meant studying apologetics of all things. Now let me just stop for a second. Probably every one of us, maybe at least most of us, have been concerned at the direction that our country is going. The woke ideology, the LGBTQ plus agendas that are being pushed, not being able to define what a woman is, what a man is. It's one thing to be upset about it. It's another thing to do something about it. What should we do? Absolutely, we should pray. But you might want to get a hold of a resource like this one, Mama Bear Apologetics, because in this, she walks through all the different things that are happening in our culture and society and gives a biblical perspective on doing this. Donald Dix, one of our the teachers in our college group, did a class on this not too long ago. If there's enough interest, he would probably do it again. But I would just say, you know what? God's placed us in this country for such a time as this, and he wants us to engage. He doesn't want us to just lock the door in our home and do our own thing. This is a resource that I would highly recommend to anyone who wants to do something about this. Here's just a snippet. Now, this is not a promo of the book, but this is a way that we see moms show up. And I think it's important for us to really understand that there's an engagement that God wants us to have. And moms, thank you for leading the way. What if we could prime our children to think biblically before they're presented with the questions that challenge their faith? Think biblically isn't merely about knowing Bible verses, though that's a great place to start. No, thinking biblically is about taking what we know from the Bible and understanding how the principles presented in it apply to everyday situations. That's the kind of biblical thinkers we want our children to become. And then she goes through and she lists off several of the areas that they focus on. She focuses on in the book. And then I want to conclude with this part. Culture's lies are like weeds that want to take over the garden of our children's minds. The lies need to be stopped. And they stop with you, Mama Bear. Afraid that apologetics isn't your cup of tea? That's totally fine. Don't read this book for yourself. Read it for no other reason than that you need to know what the world is telling your child 8 hours of every day when they're away from you. Read it so that you can recognize the lies and help your little bears recognize them too. We are in a battle, and moms take the front line because they not only comfort their children, they protect their children. And sometimes we don't know how to do it. Now we have a resource that might be helpful. Jesus, God in the flesh, described his love for his people Israel like a hen protecting her chicks. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. God's protective love for his children is incarnated in women. So a mother reflects God's character in the way she comforts her children and in the way she protects her children. There's a third way that mothers reflect God's character that men can never reflect his character. We can reflect God's character by recognizing the need to be a little more comforting and to be very protective. Sometimes we're overprotective. I do remember cleaning my gun one time when one of the boys came over to date Rachel. I remember that. I did that. But this third way is a powerfully unique way that God shines a spotlight on his image in women. Like God, and totally unlike men, Women have the gift of generative love. A woman has the ability to love a man in such a way that through God's design, she can turn that into a human being. God uses this characteristic in women to shine a ray of hope in the aftermath of his judgment in Genesis chapter 3. His judgment pronounced on the serpent, his judgment pronounced on the woman, his judgment pronounced on the man, and his judgment that fell upon all of his creation. Because right after that, when the man names the wife, he never gives her a name until after the fall, interestingly enough. And he calls her Eve. And that name means life giver. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. God has given mothers the ability, an incarnational power, the ability to create life. In other words, women manifest God's glorious love through creation, through birth. See, remember, God revealed himself as Elohim. Remember what Elohim means. He's the creator who came to recreate us. A mother reflects God's character when she comforts her children, when she protects her children, when she gives life to her children. I think the challenge for us today, for our ladies today, is reflect God's character by comforting, by protecting, by giving life. I feel wholly unqualified to address what it's like to be a mom. But I'm so grateful to know that God himself reflects his character in moms, and he wants us to see him clearly. I'm going to close this in prayer, and I want to say thank you to all the moms in the room. But again, my thanks to moms isn't what you will enjoy the most. So I have in one more video for you to see that expresses some of the thanks that the children in our lives have for you. But let's pray first. God, thank you for my mom. Thank you for the investment she made in me. Thank you for the way that you worked in her life and the way you've worked in mine through her. Lord, I pray that you would bless her today. Thank you for every mom in this room, for every mom that is responsible for people in this room, for the moms that are watching online, for the moms that are down teaching children right now. Thank you for the gift that they are to us. And God, help us to see you clearly in them as they comfort, they protect, and as they give life. In Jesus' name, amen. After this video clip, the band is going to come, and we're gonna worship God together as a result of what we've heard.
Play outside. I like to play basketball with her.
Her wallet and other things that I don't know.
Her wallet.
Anything else?
Her money.
Anything else?
And her debit card.
She keeps it in the hanger of the purses.
So that's where she keeps it. Do you know what's inside of it?
Sometimes it be money, sometimes it be toys for my baby brother.
Maybe some spaghetti.
Pasta.
Spaghetti. She makes the best grilled cheeses that I ever had. I love hers. Grilled cheeses.
Sometimes she makes me step in, and sometimes it's good.
I like cuddling with her a lot.
Cuddling with her, watching some shows with her.
That she takes me to the park.
That she takes me to the park and she plays with me.
She's very kind.
What do you love most about your mom?
Is that she comes on flights with us.
That she makes, sometimes she makes cake. I make cake with her.
Making her a picture.
She gives me a good night kiss.
She likes to face paint, and I like to do that too.
She brings me toys.
I love going shopping with her.
I love her most because one time she bought me a $200 toy.
$200?
Yep, she bought it for me.
What was the toy?
Oh, it was a big Lego set.
It
was a big gentleman's boat.
When she spent time with me.
Happy birthday!